Now, let me move down here. Now, Paul goes on here in verse 13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, here is the other side of what we talked about the other day. Paul said first, the gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the way it should go out. And I hear a great many people criticize preachers. May I say this to you? If the man is presenting the gospel, it should not only go out in power, it should be received as the word of God. Now, friends, let me ask you very candidly this question. How do you receive the word of God? Do you receive it as the word of God? Or do you have the hair up on the back of your neck? That's the way a lot of people come to church. Wonder what the preacher's going to say about me today. You know, that type of attitude. And I've had on two occasions, only two in my ministry of 40 years, two men came up to me, and both of them had a hang-up. They were mental problems. But nevertheless, they said to me, "Did you have me in mind this morning when you said what you did?" Well, I didn't even know they were there. They really gave an added sense to their importance, which was not justified. If they think I'd waste a sermon preaching either one of those characters, they were wrong. But the important thing is, they didn't receive the word of God as it was the word of God. Now, it not only should go out as the word of God, it should be received as the word of God. And friends, if you'll receive it that way, that's the way that it works in you. Now, that's the reason that some Christians, they're as cold as a barracuda's tail. Man, they're cold saints. And they go to church and it means nothing to them. If it means nothing to you, you're wasting your time. How do you receive the word of God? Do you receive it as the word of God? If you do, oh, there's blessing there for you. That is, if it's given in the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, "I hope we can get together on this. I hope I can give it in the power. I hope you can receive it that way." If you do, oh, friends, there's really something going to happen. You may be sure of that. Now, this second chapter is actually a very remarkable chapter, by the way, because you have here the coming of Christ is a working hope. That is, it gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And we have seen already in this chapter the motive and method of a true witness for Christ. And this man, Paul, was giving out the word of God. And it irritated people, that is some, because it's salt. And if it gets in a fresh wound, that is where the sin in the life. Word of God, I tell you, is like salt. Then we saw him revealing something that I feel today is needed in the churches. And here I go again as a retired preacher trying to tell the church what it should do. But may I say that I had to listen to it for years, so maybe I ought to get even. At least I'm going to venture this and believe that that's exactly what Paul is saying here, that the church should mirror the family of God down here on this earth. Now, I do not mean what I hear today over and over again. Our church is a family church. Well, I understand by that statement what they mean is this. Bring the whole family to church and we'll send little Susie that's in the nursery. We'll put her over in a little bed. We got one for her. And we'll send Junior off with a bunch of other little brats his age, and he'll be at his peer group. And then we take the teenager and put the teenagers together. And then Mom and Pop, they go off with the couples class, and Grandma and Grandpa go with the senior citizens. Now, they call that a family church. Paul would know nothing about that type of thing today. And very candidly, I'm not sure that he would approve of it. But what he means here is that the church should reveal in a community what a family should reveal. A husband, wife, married relationship, and the child in the home should reveal the threefold aspect of the love of Christ and of God for the world today. For instance, the husband has a responsibility, the wife, and the child. We saw that in Ephesians. Now here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul has already given to us the mother's side of the church, the local church. And he was a mother to the church yonder in Thessalonica. The word here is a mother bird. And he didn't work 8 hours a day. He was on the job all the time for them because he was a mother to them. And then he developed the father side. And you need the father side. The tragedy today of divorces, I think that probably there are a lot of couples that ought to separate because of the fact that they are fighting like cats and dogs, and they can get out of the ring if they separate and quit fighting. But very frankly, the tragedy is the child in the home, because that child ought to experience the mother love, and it ought to experience the father love. And that father love is expressed in discipline. And Paul says he was a father to the church yonder in Thessalonica. Now, we need that today. Now, I know one or two very fine Bible teachers, and all they ever preach on is comfort. They are always comforting the saints. Now, actually, neither one of them have ever had very much experience as a pastor. And they just go around comforting the saints, and they all love it because all of us want to be comforted. I'd be very frank with you. I would rather have somebody rub my back physically than most anything. My, what a joy it is to have somebody rub your back or rub your head, you know. And it's nice to have the comfort. But there's another aspect, and that's discipline. And discipline is not only woefully lacking today in the home and also in the state, but it's lacking in the church today. The father side.